What can Americans do to counteract the violence that is so prevalent in our society?
I think just I mentioned. Otherwise, no special answer for that. Marbe, tu sarwa.
I think I've already answered that question.
Oh. It's a transformation. Our mental attitude, that's our sort of, I think, task. Then how to achieve that? You say, how to carry that work in the family as well as in the school? So both fields. I think here, education, not through prayer, not through religious sort of meditation or things like that, but through proper education. So the various levels of education institution have very, very important role for promotion of human spirit, I think, as a secular, as a ethics, secular ethics. I think here, I don't know, I'm not sort of an educationist. I think the people, talk more how to improve, how to have the education system.
Although I'm not myself an educationist, but I do feel that people should talk more seriously about how to improve and expand the educational curriculum to make it more complete.
Then also media people also have very, very important role in the promotion of, you see, these human values. So otherwise, I don't know. So, next question.
Your Holiness, for the lay person upon the moment of death, how does one remain at peace and not in fear?
That also, I think, is much depend, as I mentioned earlier, in the daytime, more peaceful, more sort of, I think, more calm. And then in night, then in dream time also, you see, will be more peaceful, more calm. So similarly, while we're alive, our day-to-day life carry more peaceful, more friendly attitude. Then at the time of death, also is the immense sort of kasoda impact from our kasoda life, previous saksa.
From our life.
So that's, I think, the best preparation for peaceful death. Otherwise, you see, during lifetime, the lot of cruelty, lot of fear, lot of hatred. Then at the time of death also, I think very difficult to go with peace, difficult. So for example, in my own case, as a Buddhist monk, we believe next life, and especially in Tantrayana, you see, there are many sort of unique sort of preparation for death. So these very important to familiarize, so that at the time of death, a practice can materialize. So in my daily sort of practice, several times about death, and several times reborn. So this supposed preparation for my death. So when actually my death comes, whether I really good equipped or not, still I don't know. Although it's in my daily prayer, there's a lot of practice there, but still I don't know. So sometimes I got some kind of feeling, oh, when death about to come, I think I may develop some kind of excitement, whether I can implement these practice effectively or not.
Your Holiness, you spend every moment dedicated to others. Hmm. If you could take a vacation for yourself alone, what would you do? What is your idea of a vacation?
Vacation? Oh, vacation? Come. I think long sleep. You know, the other day, I think 19th, I reached Washington, D.C. from India. So very long flight, India to Frankfurt, from Frankfurt to Washington, D.C. So my energy exhausted. So then I think Washington D.C. is, I think, East Coast, I think the time around, I think, 5:30. Sleep. The morning around, I think, 4:30. So, I think more than 11 hours, I slept. So that is very good, very, very useful, very good. So if I have some vacation, I think I may spend 10 hours sleep. Then of course, you see, in my daily life, the meditation also some kind of, you see, the method for relaxation. You see, think, analyze about life, about mind, about self. Oh, if it's a meditation or analytical meditation goes well, then that also a kind of relaxation. If meditation go not that well, then you feel tiring. No. So like that. Then next question.
Now that communism is discredited, how can we control the growing disparity, the growing gap between rich and the poor?
This is really big questions, very important question. Everybody can see global level, there is huge gap, rich and poor. Southerner and Northerner. And within country, again, rich and poor, huge sort of gap. Like in America, the billionaires, the number of billionaires is increasing. The poor people still remain poor, and in some cases even poorer. Just the other day, I think, Day before yesterday, I met old friend. He told me he is carrying some work in Washington, D.C.
She told His Holiness that some of the families, the poor families that she has visited, were just so poor. Living conditions were so desperate that was not something that is really suited to any human beings to live.
And then you see, he, while he explaining his own experience, he cried. So I also feel very, very much moved. So this sort of gap, not only morally wrong, but practically also, is a source of problem. Now we have to think seriously is how to reduce this problem. Then I feel basically the and also I found some wealthier people, wealthier family. This is very much sort of, I think, willing to share some of their wealth. I think last year, when I was in Chicago, my friend there, they told me they found some of these wealthier family, now more courage to spend. This, I think, the good news. So still, I think some kind of, as I mentioned earlier, these inner qualities, the more kasoda, more compassionate attitude, that develop, then I think they suddenly can reduce this gap. But then, at the global level, I feel the people from the poorer country, the initiative must come from their side, and mainly through education. So, a few occasions I had opportunity to visit South Africa, and also a few, I think some other African countries. So I found within their country, again, you see gap, the what called elite circle, and the masses. So the mass, not adequate self-confidence. So here is very important to transform their mental attitude, self-confidence, and make effort from their own side, mainly through education. Then the richer side, of course, help them every facility for education, for training, and then eventually equipment. Otherwise, I don't know. This is a very, very, very serious matter. And then, now this leads to the question of the human population. Now more than 6 billion of human beings. This is a very, very serious matter. Very, very serious matter. Those poor, undeveloped countries, sort of people's living standard
needs to be raised.
When you say raise the living up to the living standard with Northerner already enjoyed, then the under presence sort of population, the nature resources, really questionable whether sufficient or not. So all these problems, I think, is it the lack of awareness, and we not utilize human intelligence properly. So we just look for immediate sort of problems, especially those poorer countries. They always look just as immediate, so not thinking long term. So these problems facing. So I think through education. Eventually we will find some, I think, the ways to reduce these problems.
Your Holiness, with so many wars being declared in the name of religion, can you explain why Tibet has not taken a more violent approach towards attaining freedom?
Firstly, I believe basic human nature is more gentleness, more gentle kind. So therefore, using violence is against human nature. Then, if you look human history, through war, I think a good solution, right? Good, the ma thane chi pe tumde yau thaba se haram gombore.
It is also very difficult to find real examples where military solutions have really led to any lasting resolution of the problem.
Then, in modern time, Now, national boundary is not important. Now, for example, in the modern economy, no national boundary. And also, I think through information, through tourists, now world become something like one human community. Now here is the concept of independence. Is in modern time, I think less meaning. So things are heavily interdependent. Under that circumstances, I think very concept of we and they no longer there. Then obviously, violence, war, the concept of war is now out of date. It's because your neighbor is part of yourself. Economy field, or education, or and environment issue. Your neighbor, even the ideologically, some differences, or through other reasons, some you see because of the conflict. But even then, you see, therefore it's a so-called enemy. Your neighbor as the enemy, but still in the economy and environment, still in these fields as a part of your own country. So therefore, destruction of your neighbor is destruction of yourself. So foolish. So like I think the Kosovo, for some kind of liberation there, humanitarian ground, you see, using limited sort of force. Maybe motivation is good. And goal also, maybe justification, justified. But still, I think use violence. On the spot, I think hatred, instead of reduce, I think some cases increase. So therefore, right from the beginning, I personally, some reservation, using violence, even that kind of motivation or that kind of goal. So therefore, basically, I feel now using violence is out of date. Absolute, sir. Absolute.
Obsolete.
So then Tibetan case, our case, whether we like it or not, our Chinese brothers, sisters, and ourselves have to live side by side. So almost 2,000 years, so we Tibetan have some kind of relations with China. Sometimes happy relations, including marriage. Sometimes unhappy relations. Now this moment, unhappy sort of relations. That period. In any way, we have to live side by side. So therefore, in order to live peacefully, harmoniously, friendly, in future, it is extremely important while we carrying freedom struggle, we must avoid using violence. This is my fundamental belief. And then another thing, the sort of solution must find between Chinese and Tibetan. So for that, the support from the Chinese public is very essential. So look, imagine. If we Tibetan use violence and bleeding from Chinese body, then even those Chinese who intellectually recognize Tibet struggle is just struggle and Tibetan really suffer a lot under sort of new, so-called the liberation. So you see, intellectually aware these things, so you see some kind of support and solidarity now already there. It is growing. It is very, very encouraging. But if you see Tibetan side, because of that, using violence and bleed, as I mentioned earlier, bleeding from Chinese body, then these such Chinese who intellectually support Tibet issue, but then emotionally find very difficult to support, because from their own brother sister's body, some bleeding. So therefore, I feel it is very, very important, you see, that our struggle must carry throughout non-violent principles. No, yes. Yes, last question. Then last two questions.
Is it with the last two questions? How does someone maintain a spiritual diet or spiritual nourishment in such a busy world? Is there a very quick and simple mantra one can say when first rising up in the morning to last through the day, or something to focus on during the day to feel calm?
Mantra. Just a training of mind in morning, if possible, get earlier. My daily routine, in morning 3:30, I get up. You know, the late Thomas Merton, the Tibetan monk. You see, his daily routine, morning 2:30, he get up. Then evening 7:30, go to bed. So my case, just 1 hour is late. Morning 3:30, evening 8:30. So I think the people, you can sacrifice what you call, I think, late.
Now, we can sacrifice staying up late.
And then especially what you call nightclub, isn't it? Nightclub. Or sacrifice nightclub. If you really enjoy that, then once a month. Like that. So you see, they go to bed more earlier. Then next morning, get up more early, then you see they think, examine our daily life and some of these points which I already mentioned. You see, examine, analyze. That's, I think, proper way. Otherwise, you see, the simple method, I don't know. I myself don't know, and also, you see, I'm very, very skeptical or doubtful to those people who claim, or just through a close eye, that everything is to solve this problem, that kind of thing. I little doubt. So you see, the problem can solve only through proper development of mental attitude. So it takes time and need effort.
This will be the last question. What single action can each of us take to demonstrate universal responsibility clearly?
How difficult to say, I don't know. Perhaps I think try to the sort of, I think the concern of ecology, environment, try to become part of our life. di kada ecological thonasi da chi duwa ecological environment chi di sosbet kasore chi mizi chashe sor chi khonda
perhaps one thing that we as individuals could do is to ensure that the concerns that we have for our ecology becomes a sort of a part of our own life, part of our nature.
Example, now my own practice, wherever I go, I never sort of take a bath in tap survey. Tap, the shushuna. I never take the bath in the what called that one. Just a shower. I felt, you see, if you use that tap, I feel, you see, a lot of water wasted. While, you see, the many area, you see, the drinking water, now serious problem about drinking water. In the meantime, you see, we waste a lot of water just to clean this body. Unfair, Barbe, unfair. So just a quick kasa shower. Yes, save a lot of time. And then you can spend more on coloring your face. Like that. Then also you see they save electricity. I always see whenever I leave my room, I always also they switch off. So these I consider now these become part of my sort of life. So without any sort of kasore, some tamo.
Without any deliberate conscious thought.
It becomes like that. So I think that's I consider my own sort of share of contribution regarding
environment.
So let us go that kind of life. Perhaps that easy to practice. Okay, thank you.